This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
It is Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. Wow, could we have any better of an opener last night? What an amazing game between the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We are on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And, of course, also on your smart speaker by saying, play ESPN Radio. Be a part of ESPN Radio Nation. Do it. Dr. Pepper, call in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. I know there has been so much gushing over the Dallas Cowboys and how well they played last night, and what an incredible effort it was against the Super Bowl champions. Boy, I'm excited by that. I'm here to tell you, it's a joke that they didn't win the game by 10 to 14 points. Now, I am one of the people, as if you heard yesterday, that has been consistently saying, I expected this game to be a blowout. America expected this game to be a blowout. We told you on the air yesterday that 90% of the money last night went on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, laying the points. So Vegas makes a big amount of money on a game like last night, but as good as it was for the Bucs to win that game, for the Cowboys to lose that game was just absolutely awful. And frankly, I don't want to hear about how great they played. I don't want to hear about getting hosed on an offensive pass interference call that wasn't called late in the game. Here's what I know. The Cowboys achieved something last night that is exceptionally difficult to do. The Buccaneers had over 100 yards in penalties. They turned it over four times. And the Cowboys had the football for 34 and a half minutes. And Dallas still lost. Do you know how hard that is to do? It's virtually impossible to do. Now, you can talk all you want about Dak, because Dak was sensational. Dak was absolutely brilliant. He did throw it 58 times for 400 yards, but I can't take anything away from what was a great performance from the get-go for somebody that we all sat here and questioned about how he was going to be able to respond after not being hit since last October. Well, he responded in a big, big way, and he was not getting any help from the run game. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But Dak Prescott was absolutely brilliant. The problem is his teammates on the other side of the football could not help him out enough. Guys, we told you. We told you. If the Cowboys are going to win a lot of games this year, they're going to have to win a lot of shootouts. Last night was a shootout, and they were outgunned, and they shouldn't have been. Not when the opposition turns it over four times and has 11 penalties for over 100 yards. It's virtually impossible to lose that game, but they did. Why? How about because they gave up 24 first downs in the game? How about because they gave up 430 total yards of offense, 380 of which came through the air? How about because they gave up 7 yards per play? 7 yards a play. That's horrible. The Cowboys defense, as much as they made plays in forcing turnovers, which is not something they have done consistently, and you want to be encouraged by that, everything else, they didn't do nearly well enough to win that game. And it should never have had to have come down to a bad call. Absolutely not. I mean, you knew you were dead in the water when you kicked a field goal and took the lead. And you're still giving Brady, you know, a minute 20, whatever it was he had. It was more, you knew you were dead in the water. You knew it, and if you didn't, you're just not paying attention. But all I hear today is about how well they played in the game. Am I supposed to be excited by that? I mean, even Dak, afterward, felt like this team is going to be better because of this loss. Here's the Cowboys quarterback.
We fought hard. We fought all the way to there to the end. That's a good football team they were playing. They got us by a field goal right there. We've got to be better situationally. In the red zone, defense did a great job giving us chances when we didn't convert touchdowns or field goals or getting us the ball right back. They did an incredible job, and we'll get better because of this one. Obviously, it was tough. Tough anytime you don't win. As I said, it's the expectations for this team, for myself, and yeah.
I'd like to call that straight talk, but it really isn't. I mean, it's all over the map, Dak. This is some straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, and the straight talk is simply this. Defense did a great job. Yes, the turnovers. You didn't take enough advantage of it. That's fine. All of that being the case, the Cowboys should not have to score 40 points to win, but they do. That's simply what this is. Unless they're playing a bad team, the Cowboys simply are going to have to score a ton of points to win football games. I can't tell you how disappointed I was in them last night. And look, I'm not going to hide it. Do I like the Cowboys? No, I hate the Cowboys. But I like good football. And I like watching a team execute. And especially when I truly don't have a rooting interest in the game. I don't outwardly root against them in the game. I'm not jumping up and down when they lose that game. Did I post on Twitter, darn? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. But that's the extent of it. I can look at this objectively. And objectively, as good as Prescott was, and as happy as these Cowboy fans seem to be, dude, get a grip. That is an opportunity to win a game against a great team on the road, and it was right there for the taking, and you handed it back. I have to give it to you. That was an impressive achievement to lose that football game last night. Unbelievable. And I do think we can put one thing to rest, and I realize it's one game, but there was an awful lot of hype around this particular notion. He's a rookie. Micah Parsons is not walking through the door and fixing all the problems on defense, because there were times last night that he looked every bit of a rookie. He looked like he was lost at times last night, and that's going to happen. But don't expect somebody like that. He can be a great player. I'm not saying he's a bust. What I'm saying is he is someone that eventually will be really good, but he was never going to be that difference maker immediately, because those players are so few and far between. Those players are Aaron Donald. You know, that's not what Micah Parsons is. So he'll be better, and you're going to take your big moral victory out of it and say, oh, the Cowboys will be better for this loss. Go ahead. I can't help you. The last I checked, the league is about winning and losing, and you lost. Last night, you were losers. That's what I saw, because the scoreboard told me so at the end. And even Tom Brady admitted that was not exactly a perfect win for the Buccaneers. Here's TB12.
You know, we just had so many drives there in the middle of the game where we didn't do anything to keep them off the field. So we kind of exposed our defense, and then obviously we're not moving the ball. Had a couple turnovers that certainly set us back. So there's obviously a lot to clean up. But, you know, I have confidence in all those guys. You know, I've been here, you know, 18 months now. So we've not a perfect game. There's obviously a lot to kind of unpack from this one. But it's a good football team. You know, they have a really good offense. They have a, you know, very sound defense. They have a lot of good players on defense. So it's a good team. We're going to have to, you know, we obviously got a lot to clean up.
Yeah, if you're counting on the Cowboys being in a position where they will definitively meet the Buccaneers again come the postseason, I would slow your roll just a little bit. Just a little bit. Because that defense is going to be rough. Now, as far as the quarterback, boy, I can't get over how well he played. He was absolutely fantastic and deserves all the credit for the shots that he was taking in the game. Getting up, not a problem. Not a problem one bit. Here's Ed Werder on Dak and whether or not he looked like he was 100% back.
To me, what he did told me he was completely healthy. You know, as it pertains to the fractured leg and dislocated ankle, he was mobile in the pocket. He extended plays. They called a quarterback run, a design quarterback run. And then when you come back and you're throwing it as many times as you ever have in your career and you're incredibly accurate, I didn't think there was any reason coming out of the game to be concerned about Dak Prescott. And I wasn't aware of their plan, if it's true, as I assume it is, that they're going to constantly check his shoulder. But obviously they handled that exactly the way they should have coming off the injury when it did.
Here's what I saw, a shoulder that was throwing darts all over the place. The guy looked sharp, sharp as can be. I had very little concern about what was going on there because you can't ask for any more from someone who has not played in almost a year, I should say, and has not gotten hit in almost a year. 888-SAY-ESPN, Mike from South Carolina. Mike, did you take last night as a moral victory for the Cowboys?
Absolutely not, man. Let's not act like the offense just didn't put the defense on his back every time. I'm talking about 90-second, three and out, and giving Brady all the time he needs, whatever he needs to get there. I get it. It was the first game, but all I'm saying is, man, we got a long way to go. Anytime you get four turnovers on defense, as you can tell, I used to play defense. Hmm. Anytime you get four turnovers on defense, offense needs to put up a shut up.
Four turnovers and you lose the football game is inexcusable on so many levels. And then you add in the time of possession heavily in your favor. And then you add in 100 yards of penalties against the other team. Chris in Florida. Chris, are you a delusional fan believing that this, in fact, was a moral victory for the Cowboys?
Hells to the yes. Excuse my language. Sorry, man. You and Mike, y'all both must be smoking crack, crystal meth, something. Here's what the facts are. These were the defending champs that brought back 22 starters. That's 11 off. You brought back a whole team. That means you didn't lose anybody to retirement, free agency, or nothing. This is a team in Tampa that people were saying, are they going to go 17-0? Are they going to go 20-0? And yet, yes, I understand the defense got four turnovers, but you can't expect to win a game when you give up 31 points. Sorry.
Exactly. Your defense got the four turnovers. You had everything going in your favor, and you can't stop a nosebleed.
You can't give up 31 points. I don't care. If you give up 31 points to even Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, you got to expect even with four turnovers, that's not going to be enough. Look at what happened to Aaron Rodgers in a championship game. His defense gave him five turnovers, and they still lost the championship game.
Chris, Chris, I can honestly tell you, and I appreciate the call, that if you're going to look at it that way and be exceptionally encouraged by it, you're making my point for me. You can't give up 31 points a game, and that's what they did last year. I get it. You're going to be better off offensively because Dak is where he is, but you're not all of a sudden going to be an infinitely better team than you expected to be. Mike from Texas is next on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Mike, please tell me you're not delusional about this. Tell me that you realize that this was a missed opportunity for the Dallas Cowboys.
First of all, you're right about one thing and one thing only. It was a missed opportunity. They're going against the Super Bowl defending Super Bowl champs, and they barely lost 31-29. So why are you hating on them so much?
Because the Cowboys are not Louisiana Tech going into Tuscaloosa that are 31-point underdogs, and they covered.
You're talking about one side of the ball. You're not talking about us scoring 29, or you're acting like we're a horrible team. We barely lost because our field goal kicker – missed a chip shot field goal and an extra
Mike.
Point.
What would Mike, you should have won today? That game by two touchdowns. If you don't see that, I can't help you. Honestly, wake up. You should have won that game by two touchdowns. You going to pin it on the kicker, too? He was bad. He was bad. But there's no explanation for losing that game as you did. And you want to pin it on him, that's fine. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Now, one other aspect of last night that I hinted at earlier getting to is Ezekiel Elliott. That was a bad situation. That was 11 carries for 33 yards last night, and we know that he was not very good last year. He did not even hit 1,000 yards in 15 games. We know that he was heavy last year, and we know that he lost the weight. So there are a few different ways to look at this. Is he now that running back who is already on the downside? Is he that running back that once he got paid decided that, you know, I'm going to do what I have to do here, but I'm not going to maybe bust it at the same level I was before I got that fat check? I don't think Zeke Elliott is any of those things, and I don't think he's done either. Last night, you had a very fast defense, a very fast defense that he was going up against. And I think you have to understand that this is still a 26-year-old running back. He's not 29. He's not 30. He is 26. And we know that when you have the type of season where you're carrying the football 350, 380, 400 times, you're more likely to break down the next year. Zeke hasn't had a 350 carry season. They believe his top is 344. At this age, I am not going to give up that quickly on Ezekiel Elliott. That was not a good game last night. He needed help. Offensive line didn't give him a lot of help upside, up the middle, I should say. And to the outside, he got there once or twice, but that was about the extent of it. It was not because Zeke is done. I don't believe that for 1 minute. And I think you will see him have a much better season this year than last night or last year would indicate, because there's too much talent in there and there's not enough mileage on that body yet, if he is doing the right things, for him to be finished. He's got 1,400 career carries. And remember, this is not a four-year guy at Ohio State. This is his sixth season in the league, I believe. 6 years. He still has a couple of years at a high level in him if he's interested in doing that. I don't know the answer to what's going on behind the scenes. It didn't look good that he has steadily declined since he got the money. It doesn't look good. But he should honestly have something to prove right now. This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. ESPN Radio is presented by our good friends at Progressive Insurance. And then there was this morning that I woke up to. Cam Newton, who went on and on and on and on what is it, Funky Friday on YouTube, went off about his entire situation in New England. Here are a few things that he said that I found alarming. Did it catch me by surprise being released? Absolutely. All right, that's number one. Cam, if you watched the tape of your last game against the Giants and you looked at some of the throws that you were making, or more appropriately, not making, that you were throwing well short into the ground, that just didn't have anywhere near the same zip on them as your passes used to. And if you are in practice and you start talking about Mac Jones getting 10 reps to your 2, and you don't see the handwriting on the wall, you're blind. You're blind. If all of that's going on, I mean, he looked shot in that final preseason game against the Giants. Shot. So being released in that situation when the rookie is getting as many reps as he is and you're being cut down even though you're starting, you don't see that? Come on. Number two, another quote. Let me be honest with you. If they would have asked me, Cam, we're going to give the team to Mac. You're going to be second string. We expect you to do everything and see and some to guide him throughout his tenure or this tenure, I would have said absolutely. But listen, man, the truth of the matter is this. He would have been uncomfortable. Now, Cam is not 100% wrong about that. If you're truly going to turn the football team over to Mac Jones, you don't do it with Cam Newton sitting behind him. okay? It's a nice insurance policy, but it's a distraction insurance policy. It's not necessarily that he would have been uncomfortable, Mac Jones. It's that everybody would have been uncomfortable. And then number three, I crossed all the lines. I checked all the boxes. I dotted all the I's. Then to find out I had to sit out, that's kind of what I felt bamboozled about because y'all told me to go. That was in reference to the COVID issues, that he did everything the right way. Okay, and I'm not blaming him on that. I agree with Cam that even if he had not been away from the team for a few days, he would have been cut. But all of that stuff, look, it was a screw-up. It happens. I don't think there was anything sinister behind it. Although it's Belichick, you never know. But I don't think there was anything sinister behind it one bit. The last thing, I still have a lot of football left in me. Cam, don't do this. We are 10 days removed from you getting released, and nobody's knocking on the door. Okay? Start checking the schedule to find out when Fashion Week is in the city. Okay? It's twice a year. You could be plenty busy at the Dolce & Gabbana show. You're an amazing dresser, something that, I mean, most of us could never pull off, especially somebody like me who's three bills. I mean, I just look at you and marvel on these post-game press conferences. Play to your strengths and get into that lane because football, it's over. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. What a football game last night. Absolutely outstanding. So how can Sunday possibly live up to it? What games are we looking forward to the most? There are a couple that have a chance to be as good. We'll tell you what they are in just moments. First, though, 5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract, and get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. What game Sunday can live up to last night? We will tell you in moments. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. That's me.
It's Carlin.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
On 98.7 ESPN.
No matter how much of a disappointment it was for the Cowboys to lose last night, there's no getting around that that's an amazing opener to start the 2021 season. It's Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. So it leads us to Sunday's games and what could possibly live up to that, because there were a lot of great moments. Really fantastic. I would say there were times where it was a low quality of play, but just actually with the turnovers, but just actually seeing quarterbacks making really good throws. I mean, it's you just have so much appreciation for it. So what does that lead us to Sunday? What's going to live up to it? Well, game number one that will live up to it, the Browns and the Chiefs, I think is going to be a fantastic game. Now, it appears as if Tyrann Mathieu is still not back with the Chiefs. Steve Spagnuolo said they've got plan A and plan B. He was on the COVID-19 list, and according to reporters, he was not at the complex today, so there doesn't seem to be any kind of indication as of yet if he's going to be able to go. Now, having said that, he's what, their second-best defensive player, maybe behind Chris Jones? Maybe third? I don't know. I mean, if you don't have him, it's going to make a big difference. And then Odell Beckham is questionable right now for the Browns. So what does that mean? Jadeveon Clowney, also questionable for the Browns. It's going to – those two things for me, believe it or not, Beckham is the bigger issue. As much as I talked about how he does not have a ton of pressure on him, they still need him for their offense. And shock of shocks, as good as the Browns' defense is, they're not going to win this game against the Chiefs. Their offense is going to put up 30 points to win this game against the Chiefs. If you can somehow hold Patrick Mahomes to under 30, which is a stretch. The Browns could put up 35. This could be a fun shootout. Steelers-Bills. Look, the Bills are 6.5-point favorites at last check, according to Caesars Sportsbook. But Pittsburgh got a couple of big lifts. The number one lift was the T.J. Watt situation getting lifted, and the fact that the organization gave him $80 million guaranteed, and when his agents thought that they could get more, Watt walked into the office of the owner of Rooney and said, let's get it, let's go, we got a deal, I'm going back to work. That's something that's exceptionally positive for Pittsburgh. I don't think they're going to match up well against the defense of the Buffalo Bills. I really don't expect that. AJ Epenesa, he's the guy this year that's going to step forward and have one really big breakout year as a pass rusher on a team that already rushes the passer pretty well. But Bills Steelers in Buffalo could be a really good game. Packers and Saints. The only reason I believe this to be a good game and an entertaining game and what I'm looking forward to watching is because it's Aaron Rodgers indoors. Yes, they just got a little help defensively with Bradley Roby, the Saints did, by making that trade with the Texans. But I don't think for a minute that Jameis Winston is going to have a big day. I don't think the Saints are going to be that good this year. The Michael Thomas situation, Winston's propensity to turn it over. Maybe Sean Payton's got him figured out. I don't know. I'm excited and looking forward to this game to see Aaron Rodgers throw it around, especially in an absolutely perfect indoor environment. That will be something to see. Dolphins, Patriots, people are not giving the Dolphins the credit that they probably deserve. And the only reason is because of Tua. It's a damn big reason. I won't deny that for a second. But Tua is going to be a serviceable quarterback in this league that you can win with. Superstar? No, I don't buy superstar. Will he be Justin Herbert? No, I don't buy Justin Herbert. But he'll be good enough. He'll be accurate enough. He will win you enough games. And once he gets past the notion that he can somehow beat you with his arm and get it into tight spots late, like we were talking about yesterday with Zach Wilson, Tua doesn't have anywhere near that arm. But I think he'll be good enough. I think this is going to be a really sneaky good game on Sunday. And then finally, Bears-Rams. If we see Justin Fields on Sunday night, and hey, I love to watch him play. I think he's special. I think he's going to have a really good career in Chicago. If we see Justin Fields on Sunday night, something has gone horribly wrong. And I'm not saying, I'm just looking at this, and I want to just believe that the Bears can actually do enough offensively to keep them in games, because I think their defense is good. But I think Matt Stafford is going to have a night. That's why I'm looking forward to it the most. I really don't want to see Fields before week 4, week 5. I don't want to see him before that point of the season. I think he's one of those guys that benefits from sitting a few weeks. Whereas Stafford, you know how I feel, going to win the MVP. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Rick from Atlanta on the Cowboys. Rick, what do you got today? You're on ESPN Radio.
Hey, good afternoon, Chris. You should really be worried because this old man here pretty much agrees with everything you say. So it should be concerning for you. But I lived around Texas.
I don't need your help.
I've lived around Cowboys fans for a good deal of time, even though I live in Atlanta now. And the thing that you'll find that most of these folks, I think, are probably going to miss when they comment on the Cowboys game last night is they're failing to see that there's 3 points to the game. There's the offense, which did look good, but the other two phases of the game suck. Sorry about saying that on the radio.
Blunt, cogent, fair. Thanks for the call. All true. Not nearly good enough. And I think we could say that on special teams, it was very clear that the Bucs had a massive advantage. Brady was in the zone last night, leading the Bucs to a win over the Cowboys in the zone. Brought to you by AutoZone, of course. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Up next, it's a Football Friday edition of Say What? Did I do that right, Raj? I don't know. That's kind of, I don't know about that. Okay. Say what? No. No, I'm going to stop. I can't even, I don't want to listen to myself do that. And we're also, outside of football, getting into who wins this fight. John Wick or James Bond? That's a spicy meatball. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles, with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivecommercial.com. Say What is next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. That's me.
It's Carlin.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Idiot, you should know that by now. Guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. It's Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Completely blanked on the fact that because of Hurricane Ida, the game had been moved between the Saints and the Packers to Jacksonville. So that will obviously not be indoors, you big dope. Good job for those pointing it out, and everybody in Louisiana who now hates me, which is understandable. I get it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is time, and I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to try to hit the octave for Say What. Raj,
yep, dude.
You want to hit the octave yourself? No.
Yeah, I can't do it as well as you do, but Say What?
There you go. How you did it? Better than me. It just bad. Well, what's going on?
I think my people created the term, so I'm probably better at it. All right. So, hey, let me ask you a question. I've been thinking about this, and I saw this somewhere on the interweb. But who do you think would win a fight between John Wick or James Bond?
No weapons?
How about you have weapons, but they have bulletproof vests on? How's that?
No weapons, but you have bulletproof vests. Yeah, I got to go Wick. I mean, I think Wick is just too skilled in hand-to-hand combat. It's not taking anything away from James Bond. And I know I'm going to get so many people from back of the... I've been a James Bond fan since 1963. Sean Connery would kick John Wick's ass. Yeah, okay. Listen, he is a much more skilled fighter. That's all. I'm looking at a straight breakdown. That's it. John Wick. I'm not going to say would destroy him, but John Wick would beat James Bond.
It would go to a decision. I agree with you. I agree with you.
Go to a decision. Let's check in with Howard Letterman. Oh, Jim.
What do you got?
I've got the score 10-8. Howard Letterman still isn't even a thing anymore. I don't know. Anyway,
no, he was great. He was great. Hey, the Big 12 voted on Friday to accept BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF into the conference. What'd you think of that, Chris?
They didn't have a choice. I'm happy for a couple of these schools, specifically UCF. I mean, it is the largest school in the country. Like, they have the most students of any university in the country. And they do get three top 40 television markets. The problem is that, like, you go to Houston, and the University of Houston is not number one in the Big 12, or not number one among fans there. It's all the other Texas schools. But I think it's a good thing for the Big 12. Having said that, it does not mean in any way that the Big 12 will survive long term. I don't buy that at all.
Okay. All right. Hey, man, you see Mad Max, the last one, Fury Road?
Parts of it, admittedly. Parts of it. Okay, did not see the whole thing, but I'm familiar with the Mad Max genre.
Okay, well, this one, no CGI. Like, they did all the stunts themselves with those cool cars. Well, over a dozen vehicles from Mad Max to Fury Road, they're being auctioned off. You want one? Would you take one?
I would take one. Give me the Giga Horse. You know the Giga Horse? Yeah. It's got the two giant tires in the back and the two smaller tires in the front, and it's I don't know if it's an F-150 or what it is, but it's like a truck on top of it. Right. Give me the Giga Horse. And it's kind of pointing down on you. It's very intimidating. I'd go with the Giga Horse, absolutely. The question is, what's the price on that? Like, what am I going to end up paying for that?
So we'll see who else wants it as bad as you do. Yeah, I can see you rocking that.
I didn't say I wanted it bad. I said I'd take it.
All right. Hey, and finally, you know, it's National TV Dinner Day. Mm. Chris, I think I know the answer, but were you ever a TV dinner guy? Just throw it in the microwave or the oven and sit in front of TV and have your, like, you'd have your meat, your side or two, and then a little apple something dessert?
Believe it or not, no. I am not a TV dinner guy. Absolutely not. It's nothing against the great people from Swanson's. I have no issue with them whatsoever.
I guess we'll have to get Dan Orlovsky's take because he's Mr. Food, so we'll have to ask him.
Oh, wow. I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. Now, at Stouffer's, I was on board there. Like, the Stouffer's lasagna was solid. I guess it's a tweener. Bubba, help me out here. Are you a TV dinner guy?
A little bit, yeah. I always liked the Stouffer's French bread pizza. That was kind of my main thing.
That's good, too.
Yeah,
Here's the difference, Raj. Give me that frozen type dinner as opposed to the meat, potatoes, vegetable, apple crisp tray.
Yeah, I was never getting that, like, you know, from the, yeah, exactly. I never did that. I was more, give me the frozen pizza, a soda in front of the TV, you know, watching the Mets lose, and it's perfect.
That, you just described, like, the height of depression in New York City. Just tell me you're in your basement watching that. Oof, that's rough. More on the Bucks and the Cowboys next on ESPN.